Well, good morning. I'm going to give you just a brief history of me because I don't want to get too far into that. That could take a long time. Born and raised in Palatka, joined the Navy at 23 out of Gainesville. I lived at Gainesville at the time. Spent 9 years, 7 months, and 4 days approximately in the Navy. I grew up Southern Baptist, became a Mormon at the age of 17, so I lived in that. There's some good things there. God still, we just read today that, you know, those who are called according to his purpose and who love him will still get good things, even in the bad. So I did that for a while. Got into the Episcopal Church when I came back to Palatka to be a manager of a hotel. Then found out what they were doing. I was leading a very dynamic youth group at the time. Was it 25 people, wasn't it, Lisa? 25 young people, just beautiful people. When I left, there was one left because of the homosexuality, and she turned out to be a homosexual. So later on, but as I got away from that, I didn't know what to do. Lisa and I had a divorce, and we had been going to St. John the Divine, and then of course we weren't for a while, and then during that time I came back and started really seeking God. I want you to let you know that the reason I'm in the CEC is because I believe this is a correct, biblically, liturgically, historically correct church, okay? I'm not going to say it's 100% true, okay? Because I was in the Mormon church, and I saw what their true church was, all right, the one and only. But I will say this, I believe that it's a church that I'm supposed to be in. God has proven that over and over. I'm going to use several Bible verses today, and I apologize that I'm not preaching off the particular gospel reading today. I started that, I got into it. God told me several weeks ago what to preach on, but then I said, well, he's not giving me anything on that, so I'll just go ahead and preach on the gospel reading. And I started my study, then God said, nope. I got it now. Here it is. So I said, oh, boy. So changed it up this week, and it's been a real blessing to me, and I hope that God really blesses you as we talk about these things. The epistle that I'm going to use basically for this is Ephesians 2:8. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn there, you want to look at that with me, that's great. I'll be talking about others, but this is the key to what I'm talking about today, and the title of this sermon is Grace When We Need It Most. Grace When We Need It Most. Now, people know what grace is. I mean, you've been around in the church, you know that it's just unmerited love from God. You didn't do anything to deserve it, and he's going to give it to you anyway. And so that's what it is, but sometimes we need a little more grace, don't we? Sometimes it seems like life is just bearing down on us. We don't know what's going on. We've had a death in the family. We've lost a job. There's a severe illness, heart disease, cancer, you name it. Something comes at us, and we need that little extra dose of grace, it seems, just to help us get through. Okay. Well, here's the thing. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we get grace, and we go around and say, oh, the grace of God is helping me. Oh, I've got so much grace from God. You know, it's by his grace. You know, that's great. But if you say, guess what I did today? Guess what happened? God's really blessing me because he's given me everything. Man, I'm the guy. I'm the guy in God's corner, right? So what am I doing? I'm boasting, right? I'm saying, hey, look. I'm the guy. God's blessing me. He's not blessing you. He don't want to bless you. That's not the truth. It's free to everybody. And so Paul said we don't want to boast about that. So in the second epistle, and I'm going to show you just how far this can really go in our lives, Paul tells us just how deep God's grace can reach. And you might want to turn that volume down. I'm sorry, I get a little crazy on this. I've got a big voice. Helps being a teacher. It's horrible when you've got a microphone on. All right, so second epistle of Corinthians, he says this, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Three times he asked. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. What? Yeah. I'm glad to be sick, God, because I can go preach your message and be sick. In reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And we sing that in Jesus Loves Me, right? Here it is. Paul's telling us. So God's grace works in everything that happens to us. For those who love the Lord, right? We just read that today. And called according to his purpose, we seek out God's grace to help us through things. Well, again, let's just say this. If it weren't so generous, some of us might not make it. We might just turn around and say, God, you can have this stuff. I don't want any more of it. I've been there lots of times. When I first put on the deacon collar, I wanted to walk away from the CEC and every responsibility they were giving me. There was a lot going on at that time. But I can truthfully say I wanted to go somewhere else. I wanted nothing to do with it. But the grace of God reached in and said, you can make it. You can make it. I had to call a few people and help me with that. But let me just say, that's why we're all here, right? We all experience the grace of God, so therefore we can share the grace of God with one another. In 1980, just after winning the Nobel Peace Prize, I'm going to pull this out here, St. Teresa of Calcutta was interviewed for Time magazine. When asked if she cares for the leprous men herself, she casually announced, no, I wouldn't touch a leper for 1,000 pounds. Yet I willingly care for him for the love of God. Think about that for just a moment. Saint Teresa, in her humanity, wanted nothing to do with the lepers. Yet for the love of God, she wanted everything to do with them. That changes the game, doesn't it? Because God's grace is just like that for us. He wants to come in and give to us anything that we need. Things that are his will, our will, all together working for our good. Maybe she understood when Jesus said, love one another a little better than I did. Maybe she understood that a little better. Because honestly, folks, there's some times when I don't love people the way I should. But again, God's grace pours into that. Talk about that a little bit. We lean on his wisdom and on his grace. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. We have little to no understanding how God works things out. We cannot see our future. I used to say that we can see the future 1 second from now. But that's not really true either, because I had a friend who stepped away from the dinner table and died just like that. He was dead before he hit the floor. He didn't even know the next second he had in life. Told his wife the dinner was good and passed away. So let me tell you a little bit about this. So anyone in here a caretaker? Have little tiny children, caretakers or little tiny children. Okay. So you come to church for rest, right? Is that what you come here? So you come here because, trust me, if you've got someone that you're taking care of that has a lot of needs, and that includes babies, because I've had a few, and I know that, holy mackerel, right? You're always like, oh, it's another feeding time already. like I just shut my eyes. So here's the deal. I'm going to tell you a little story about me. So my brother had a heart attack about 4 years ago, severe one. It's called a widowmaker. And so he's had several small ones since. He's had a triple bypass. He is currently in the hospital because he has blood clots in his legs. So, but my brother is also a genius. A IQ level of 180. Think of Stephen Hawking and add 20. All right? So he has problems dealing with people. He doesn't even understand when you're talking to him what you're really saying, because he's going by the words that are coming out of your mouth, not what you mean. He takes you very literal. So if you say something like, how are you feeling, and you don't really want to know, don't ask. All right? If you just want to fine, he's not going to say that. All right? So understand that he's like that. So he has problems living with people and being around people, so he chose to live in this vehicle. So the past few months he's been couch surfing, and in April, May, June, and July, those 4 months, he spent at least 1 week out of those months in the hospital. This month a little more because he's back in again, so it's been about 2 weeks. So we decided to become his caretaker. Well, I'll actually tell you that. Lisa heard the word of God and said, you're going to come live with us. Now, she also acknowledged that he's hard to live with. She said, I know that you're hard to live with, but God told me that you're coming. And in the words of Lisa, she said, this is a God thing. And if you know Lisa, that's her words. So she says that a lot. So he came to live with us. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. I had no idea. I had no idea what it was going to take, right? I didn't understand that you needed a shower chair and a walker and handrails everywhere, which we still don't have, that you need different items in the bedroom. We got him a small refrigerator. He doesn't eat a lot when he's in severe pain, so we're trying to get him to take in Sure. And I mean, there's just little things. This is a grown man. I'm thinking, he can make these decisions? No. When he's in a lot of pain, he cannot. And so we have to make those decisions for him. I have to go in and convince him that that's the right thing to do. And I'm thinking, the man's 50 years old. I shouldn't have to tell him stuff. He's a genius. And he'll let you know that, by the way. So I found that most people like that do let you know. I got a PhD. I say that a lot. He doesn't, but I have someone that does. So if you're not a caretaker and you don't know exactly how this goes, then maybe you don't quite grasp the depth that it goes to. And maybe you think that this sermon is kind of based on a small percentage of you guys. But I'm going to tell you, you're wrong. That's absolutely wrong. Because there's something very unique that I found in the gospel. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to talk about patience for just a minute, because I want you to grasp this idea. In James, James 1 chapter, verses 2 through 4. So a lot of times we have questions about what, and this is what I had, what do I do when I don't know what to do? What do I do? How do I answer questions that I didn't even know existed before now? How do I react when I think God's not listening? Because there's some immediacy sometimes to this caretaking business. Sometimes it's a long drawn out thing. Sometimes it's a right now gotta happen thing. All right? So what happens? So I know that you guys want to know the answer, so I'm going to read James 1, 2 through 4. My brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That is not where I was. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, here's two things I'm trying to tell you. We've already found out that perfection comes through this grace, right? Turning to grace. But now James, the brother of Christ, says, But let patience have its perfect work. What? That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now I went, wait a minute. I got to count on grace and I got to be patient? No. Not going to happen. I can't deal with patience right now, Lord. I got stuff to do. I got to get it done. My wife will tell you that I'm very manic like that. Now here's the thing. We didn't have that attitude, and so please forgive us. Because we were more like, God, we're being obedient, but we don't like it. James says, have joy. And what's crazy is, if you go to 1 Peter, Peter said it too. Dadgummit. Like, I have to do it now. I have to be patient. And trust me, my wife is going, Robert, remember, you just said you got to be patient. I'm going, oh, patience. All right. So it sounds like we need some stuff, right? So let's talk about this. I'm going to read this off because this is what God really gave me right here. And y'all need to know this. So you see, we all undergo difficulty. Different types, different times. Jesus promised us this would happen as his followers. He promised there would be suffering. And we go, really? We got to do that? However, his brother James said that testing of our faith produces patience, and patience makes us perfect. So what does it mean about God's grace? His grace is not only free, but it reaches into every difficult moment. Yet as he sends the Holy Spirit to comfort us, he asks us to be patient, to learn from him, as we work it through with him. Basically, to sit at the master's feet and learn as we go through this. To accept his wisdom and his timing. That's hard. Whatever happens. So that we can draw near to him, so that he can draw near to us.